for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, September the 1st, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Christ the Foundation.
Before I start, a few things I wanted to... First, let me remind you, the men's conference, the second weekend in October. I believe it'll be Friday night through Sunday morning instead of Thursday night. It's a little more packed on... Not sure how they do it this year. If you'd like to be on my email address, my email list, a lot of you are, and I appreciate it, just give my wife your email address, and we'll put you on there. If you don't like it, you can unsubscribe, because people sure do. Praise God. My son's father-in-law unsubscribed. But that's another thing. Praise God. That's all right. His daughter's suing our church, so there you go. I don't need to tell too much. But anyway, constable came out and served me Friday a week ago. He said, this is the first, he's been constable forever. First time I ever saw a church be sued. I said, well, I sued over a Bible, so, you know, here's just another one. Praise God. We didn't do anything wrong, folks. They owe a lien and they don't want to pay it. Praise God. And we won't sign off on it. Anyway, praise God. It's a very difficult thing we're going through right now. But you know what? It just keeps coming, doesn't it? I mean, tests and trials. Paul said, I'm always delivered over death for his name's sake, that the life of Christ might be manifest in my mortal body. So just get used to it. Get ready. Praise God. You're going to grow in God. It's coming. Thank you. Now, another thing, books. And I have a book over there the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. It's a large book. I encourage you to get it. And one over there, Christ Inwardly, back there on that table. There's an Overcomer's Manual, which deals with deliverance from sin. We pass many, many of those out in the jail, and God really touched those young men, older men. There's one growing up to Christ, another one, The Power of God, and my wife has one laying down the flesh, and then our assistant pastor, Better Way in Christ, and Sister Deborah has one back there too, on that table. I believe it's on the table. And I think Jerry has some in here. Praise God. So get the books. Praise God. Take them home with you. CDs are back there. You can get the CDs. Praise God. Well, we'll just go right on into the Word of God. Christ the Foundation. That's what this is. The title of this, Christ the Foundation. There's a glare on the machine. Yeah, you can move the pliers. Make sure you get them right in the middle, brother. All right? Because if you don't, it's going to bother people. And they won't be able to listen. Is it all right? Should we vote on it? Praise God. Amen. Good job. Good job. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your word and your patience with us. Where would we be if you weren't patient with us? But forgive us for our impatience toward you. Ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts up to you. In the name of Jesus, praise God, amen. This, I'm not exactly known for preaching easy sermons, so it'll be hard. But if you had surgery, it would be hard, but it'd be good. Right? Praise God. It's not to pick on anybody. to discourage anyone or condemn anyone. You know what? He said, the truth shall make you free. The Lord showed me, if I don't speak truth, how are people going to be free? Right? If you compromise with them, if you smooth it over, if you lie to them, how will they ever be free? I'm not saying be crazy and tell them they're going to hell if they don't do this or that. We don't mean that. And you don't correct everything you see. Have you learned that yet? You don't correct everything you see. I've learned that the hard way. I've been at the church 40 years in our old building. One night that some things went on, and I just got up, going to correct it. Lost half the church over it. So you learn to lay hands on no man suddenly. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's field. You're God's building. Now the work of the kingdom of God is not my work, my ministry. It's not your work or your ministry. It bothers me to hear people talking about their ministry. Really. It's not my kingdom, it's not your kingdom. But it's the exclusive kingdom of God. God's field or building simply means or refers to the kingdom of God. We are laborers together with God. It's His field, it's His building. The kingdom of God, Christ said, is in the hearts of His people, Luke 17:21. Now God is gathering the people together into His kingdom, which Colossians 1:13 refers to as the kingdom of His dear Son. Just as all Scripture, let us not claim that a Scripture applies to us just because we say it or sing it. That's amazing how many go, well, I'm a overcomer. I'm a new creature in Christ. Are you really? Are you really? Are you just saying it? Let's say this. The Scripture is written to the church, to the believer. It's not written to the world. And what do we mean? It means that the words we're laborers together with God doesn't apply to everyone doing a ministry. We realize and understand that not all who are laboring in ministries are laboring together with God. Just because I get an idea for a ministry and attempt to do it doesn't mean I'm laboring together with God. Just because I see someone doing something in ministry and attempt to copy what they're doing doesn't mean I'm laboring together with God. An example is the seven sons of Sceva. They saw Paul casting out devils. They said, well, we can do that. They took it upon themselves. There's the key. They took it upon themselves. See, God never told them to do that. They saw a need. Well, we need to meet that need. We don't need to meet every need we see. Some of that's a trap and a distraction. But they took it upon themselves to copy what Paul was doing, and it resulted in their being run out into the street naked and bleeding. Unless I'm doing the will of God in ministry, then I'm not laboring together with God. No one is doing the will of God unless he's been led or she's been led by the Holy Spirit. Just because we see a need, again, doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's leading us to attempt to meet that need. If you, all the church growth manuals, books, they say the church is to meet a need in the community. Find a need in the community and meet it. Where's that in the Scripture? Just because we see something is wrong doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's leading us to attempt to fix it or to make it what we think is right. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were in a conference in Virginia, and there we heard a woman in front of us give an utterance in what sounded like tongues. Very strange. And then she immediately gave an interpretation for it. While she was speaking, both my wife and I knew that she was not being led by the Holy Spirit. That she was not laboring together with God. Now just in case you think we can't, you know, you can't judge me. Oh yes, we're to do that. Read 1 Corinthians 14. The spirit that she was operating in first did not bear spirit with the Holy Spirit living in us. I have seen things and been so grieved in my spirit. So grieved in my spirit. and you can't always do something about it. In other words, we could not detect the anointing upon her or her utterances. We're not being judgmental. Brethren, we were obeying the Scripture, as I said in 1 Corinthians 14, which commands, let two or three prophets speak, let the others judge or weigh what they said. You know, if all those the utterances come forth, if people knew they were going to be judged, some wouldn't be spoken. But nobody contests them, and nobody judges them. I'd like to sometimes. I'd like to stand up, you know, but I might be escorted. I'm not talking about here necessarily, but might be escorted out. Because she was presenting something out of her own soul, nothing came of her labor. I mean, when she got through, when she finished, it was just like she never did it. There was no move of the Holy Spirit. There was no reaction. It was just deadness. Later, I saw that same woman lay her hand on a man's chest to pray for him, and the man was not her husband. I don't believe in that. I can lay my hand on a man's chest, but women shouldn't lay their hand, and I should let you know what I'm saying. Being proper and in order. While we were there over her, and I'm not, it was a wonderful conference, but you know, they can't help who all shows up. We can't help who all shows up here. Amen. There's some things show up here. But praise God, there's godly people here that know how to handle things. I overheard another woman excitedly tell how she saw an angel. Well, okay, that's good, you know. Many people see an angel. But she said the angel was a man angel. Well, wait a minute. Angels are not male or female. Does anybody not know that here? Jesus said they're not male or female. And they do not have sexual relationships. Do you know that? It's in your Bible. And so she saw a man angel. I think you saw something that wasn't right. And she said he was just right, just like I was looking at you. All caught up in it, kind of spooky, mystical. I had rather hear someone say, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I felt His touch. He touched me. He changed me. Obviously, as I said, she does not read her Bible. And while I'm there, I'm going to say something. Genesis 6. The sons of God taken the sons of men. People saying those are angels, fallen angels. Jesus said, angels do not have sex. That's what Jesus said. Come on now. I don't think anybody can prove me wrong with that. That's what Jesus said. I take what Jesus said. In Luke 4 we read, Christ was full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, that He went out in ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the result was there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about, being glorified of all. There's a test to a fame that comes with laboring with God, which is that like Christ in His followers, it will bring persecution and often death. Scripture says, if all men speak well of you, beware. God knows, the devil knows, and the people of God who have spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual discernment, but sometimes it's amazing the lack of spiritual discernment in people. God's people. And it's dangerous, folks. They know if someone's laboring together with God or if they're doing their own thing to be seen of men or to build their own kingdom. Don't we realize that the anointing can be mimicked? Being loud, sounding spiritual or mystical, or speaking in King James language. Y'all know what that is. Thee, thou. You ever heard anybody give a prophecy and it's in old King James? Or attempting to make our voice sound like God speaking. One time we had a new pastor in our section and they asked him to dismiss. And I was just standing, okay. And he says, oh, Heavenly Father. Oh my God, God's in here somewhere. Where is He at? I just heard Him, you know. Praise God. Or they're saying, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. I'll tell you, if it's the Lord, we'll know it's the Lord. You don't have to tell us. Praise God. Or because people get excited, that does not make a ministry credible. Just because people sing about being on holy ground and feeling the touch of angels' wings does not make it so. I tell you what, we need to look at some words, all these words of these songs we're singing. When people in the Bible came into the presence of the Lord, they were not laughing, they were not applauding, rather they feared, and many fell as dead men. Oh, the Lord showed up at our meeting. Really? We had a good old time. I tell you, if He had showed up, it would have been something else. You understand what I'm saying? It's not when Christ shows up, when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's not a spirit of frivolity going on. Verse 10, according to the grace or power of God which is given to me as a wise master builder. Folks, I know if it's just sounding hard, but I'm just telling you, come on and have some discernment. Don't just take everything you hear or see. The Scripture tells, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. According to the grace or power of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. We're all here being solemnly warned concerning how we build on this eternal foundation. Solemnly warned. The how must be that we're laboring with God. Not, he says, take heed how. Laboring with God, not for God. There is a great difference in laboring with God and laboring for God. God does not want us to think for Him, to speak for Him, or to do something for Him. I learned one thing. I grew up in a church, Pentecostal church. If the Spirit didn't move, they'd make Him move. They'd sing, I'll fly away till somebody did something. They'd get you all worked up. And I just looked at it. As a young person, I looked at it and said, there's something wrong with that. Stir in the pot, whatever. And it came to me that the Holy Spirit is big enough to do what He wants to do. We don't have to push Him, make Him, urge Him to do something. I'm going to tell you something. We get our heart right, He's more willing to touch us than we are to be touched. You hear what I said? God's intention is that He will do the thinking, that He will do the planning. Oh, I don't know, Lord, we might need to do this for You. He will speak through us if and when He has something that He wants to say through us. That He will do something through us if and when He has something that He wants to do through us. If I build something on God's foundation that He did not authorize or originate, then I have corrupted the work of God. I have compromised the building of God. If the Apostle Paul laid the foundation, what was that foundation? There's the question. What is the foundation? The only foundation. There is no other foundation. Here's his answer. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. It's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation. Let me say this. He must be the foundation for your home, for your marriage, for your church, if you own a business, everything. He must be the foundation. Verse 11, for no man, I'm going to give it to you in three different translations. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, for no one can lay any other foundation in addition to that which is already laid, namely Jesus Christ. Can you imagine someone attempting to lay a foundation in addition to Christ, as if Christ is not enough? Is He enough? Is He enough for you? I'm asking you, is Christ enough for you? He wasn't enough for Eve. And it worked. Praise God. The foundation that Paul is talking about is Jesus Christ. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not natural or spiritual gifts. It's not our talents or skills. It's not our intelligence or education. It's not our charisma. It's not our wisdom or our life experiences. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not sermons or teachings or doctrines or worship music or worship teams or musicians. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not programs or entertainment or buildings or the ministers of the organized church. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not even God-given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not miracles, signs, and wonders, or prophetic utterances. Well, what is the foundation? It's Christ. And He's enough. The foundation of the kingdom of God is one thing and one thing alone. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The kingdom of God is not a place or an organization. Rather, it's the government of God, or people living under the government of God, or under the hand of God by Christ, which is Christ living in the hearts of the people. This is why 1 Peter 5:6 commands us to humble ourselves, or submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The kingdom of God's not things. It's not even the things of God. Well, God gave me this gift, and I have to use it. I'm going to go somewhere where they'll recognize I have this gift and they're going to let me use it. Don't let the things of God become God. They're not. Don't let the things of God become an idol. Do you know if you walk with God, there are going to be times that you're going to be put on the sideline, so to speak, or on the shelf. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's a test. One time there were two pastors that both lost their churches and had nowhere to go, and I arranged housing for them. I mean, they were homeless. And all they talked about was God was going to give them another ministry, another church. And they prophesied it, and they claimed it, and they stood on the word. And that's all you heard. God's going to give me another church. And I'm about to get another church. And the devil's hindering, but I'm going to rebuke the devil. And I'm going to get another church. I got sick of it. One Wednesday night I preached. What are you after? Are you after Christ or ministry? You can just imagine they don't like what I said. But you know, somebody needs to tell them that. I said, somebody needs to tell them that. To some people, all that God means is a ministry. He's a means to an end. He is not the end. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful about that. Let me say this. Some people think God kids can't do it without me. There was a famous TV evangelist that fell. And his wife made a statement that her husband was the only one that could reach the world. Well, I wouldn't have said that. I could name his name, you know who I'm talking about. I would not have said that. You really think that? Let me tell you something. God was doing what He wanted to do a long time before you and I showed up. And when we're long gone off the scene, He'll still be doing what He wants to do. Praise God. The kingdom is not things. It's becoming something other than what we are and what we were. The kingdom of God is becoming what Christ is. Therefore, the kingdom of God means to be transformed into the image of God. Now stay with me on this. To preach the kingdom of God is to preach Christ. For He alone is the foundation of the kingdom or government of God in the hearts of His people. He alone. This is why the Apostle Paul and all the apostles that wrote said, "We preach Christ." Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him crucified. When Christ commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, Matthew 6:33, He was telling us to seek Him. For He alone is the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. When Jesus said that tax collectors and harlots would enter the kingdom of God before the religious leaders would, Matthew 21:31, He was saying the despised people of the world would come to Him before the religious leaders of the world. To Him that entered the kingdom. Christ is the seed of the kingdom of God, Mark 4:26, which is sown in the hearts of believers, and therefore the kingdom of God is within. We cannot have the kingdom of God within us unless Christ is in us. Christ is the seed of the kingdom of God within a people. As He lives His life in the people, they're prevented from sinning. 1 John 3:9. Sometimes I just can't quit sinning. Well, 1 John 3:9 says, His seed, Christ, remains in us, and we cannot sin. Why? Because Christ is not sinning. Amen? Christ is not sinning. I have to know that myself. Jesus Christ is the King of God that believers must receive as a little child. Mark 10:15. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God is Christ in a people's heart. Luke 8:1. The mysteries of the kingdom of God, Luke 8:10, is the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3:4, Colossians 4:3. To see the kingdom of God is to see Christ. Luke 9:27. Who now, as the risen Christ, is invisible to the eye. In Luke 17:20, he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You cannot see it. He said, don't say it's here or there. You can't see the kingdom of God. This is how Moses endured leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, by seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. When Jesus told a certain disciple to let the dead bury their dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God, he was telling the man to go and preach Christ. Luke 9:60. Jesus said that to cast out devils with the finger of God means that the kingdom of God has come upon the people, or that he, the Son of God, has come to them. Luke 11:20. In Luke 13:21, Jesus said that the kingdom of God was like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The Lord is explaining that if he is planted as a seed in our hearts, he will grow in us and be formed in us until he who is the kingdom of God fills our entire being, permeates our entire being. This work of the Holy Spirit within us, which is to form Christ in us, explains how rivers of living water shall flow out of our innermost being. John 7. Peter told the lame man at the gate in Acts 3, such as I have, I give unto you. What did Peter have? He had Christ living in and working in him by the Holy Spirit. Remember that he... Let me stop and say something. If you want more faith, get more Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, by the faith of Christ. Didn't say faith in Christ. Don't misquote that. By faith in Christ. Let me give you all that. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not faith in Christ. This is not our faith. It's his faith. You want more faith? Get more Jesus. You want more love? Get more Jesus. Praise God. Whatever it is you need, healing, get more Jesus. By stripes you're healed. Just get more Jesus. And I'm going to say this probably later, but let me tell you something. It's not that we're here and he's over here. That's not the way this works. Christ is not something outside of us, separate from us. Someone up in heaven we talk to. Someone we think about every once in a while. He's not our spare tire in the trunk if we have a flat. Whatever. Now remember that he that has Christ has life. 1 John 5:12. Also says he that has not Christ has not life. And unless we have Christ, there will be no living water to flow out of us. It's impossible. When the workers of iniquity... And you know, I preach a lot on the Holy Spirit. But let us remember, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ in us. The Scripture says, John 16, he does not speak of himself. He only speaks of Christ. He shows us the things of Christ. When the workers of iniquity are commanded to depart from Christ, Luke 13:27, to a place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and from there they'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, it is meant that they will see them in Christ. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it, Luke 16:16, he was speaking of men pressing into him. Just as in John 6 when he said we must drink his blood and eat his flesh or partake of him. We read in Luke 18:16 that parents were bringing their small children to Jesus. But his disciples were rebuking the parents for troubling Jesus with those they considered unimportant. Have you ever seen, I have seen, people come up for prayer, little children standing there, just pass over them like they weren't standing there. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. I always pray for the children in my church. And I pray what God gives me to pray for them. I don't just pat them on the head, oh Lord, bless them.
Jesus answered his disciples, "Permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus was saying, "Let the little children come unto me, for I am the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ often referred to himself as the I Am. And by that he was simply saying that he is all in all, and that all things consist by him. Now certainly all in all and all things consist by him includes the kingdom of God. If the eternal kingdom of God is not Christ, then what do we think the kingdom of God is? Some sort of Disney World? Or some kind of club where you get what you want, when you want it, how you want it, where you want it? If we get what we want, then God will not get what he wants. The kingdom of God, Luke 17:20. Now when he was asked, Christ was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." You cannot see it. They did not realize that the kingdom of God had already come, for Christ had come into their midst. We have been taught that we must wait until we die to enter into heaven. But let me tell you, unless we're sitting in heavenly places now with Christ, we'll never enter into heaven. It starts now. We must be sitting together in heavenly places with him now. This old thing gets, you know, get saved or whatever that is to people. Repeat a prayer, profess Christ, shake a preacher's hand, walk the aisle, whatever. And do that and then just hold on and wait. Try to be a good person till you die. No, it's now. I just want to say, and not in a condemning way, if you're not experiencing Christ's presence now, there's something wrong. Now, I know there are times we're tested. Please don't misunderstand me there. I am, you are. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. On the cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? We're going to be tempted. I had a friend who was walking from his house to his barn, and he had really been enjoying the presence of God. He felt the presence of God just lived. That was his description of it. It was like a year before he ever felt the presence of God again. He cried, he fasted, he did, you know, whatever. There's sometimes we have to go by faith. Is that right? By faith. Ephesians 2:6 tells us plainly that God has raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In John 12:26, Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also." Are you and I where he is? That's a question tonight. You could say this, don't go anywhere he wouldn't go. Right? In John 14:3, Jesus gave us this promise. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now what we do is we put this off. Most people, we think, we put that off into eternity. But the Lord was not referring to a time hundreds of years off in the future. But he was speaking about the day of Pentecost, when he would come to live in a people and they would live in him. This is that place he went to prepare for us. Let me tell you, it's not a mansion on a street of gold. It's him. He's the place prepared for us. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. All this time I've been, you know, thinking about how I'm going to decorate my mansion. The day of Pentecost, the meaning of Pentecost is Christ coming to live in a people by the Holy Spirit. That place is in him, the heavenly places. And thereby, where he is, will be also. Again, that's the very meaning of Pentecost, Christ coming to live in a people by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's more than speaking in tongues, falling out on the floor, running the aisle, or whatever. And I've done all that. Many of you have. It's more than gifts. It's Christ living in a people. Let me tell you, the falling on the floor
It won't last forever. I've known people, we used to have a family in our church, and wherever that's happening, that's where that's going. When that's decided here to come back, you know. Now, it hurt us over there. Ooh, now, here they go. Something happening over there. Something happened over there. You know what? Let me tell you, quit looking for a revival. Start looking for Jesus. I used to sit on the front pew. I did this a long time. And I was looking to see, you know how, as a pastor, how many's coming in, who's coming in, who's not coming in. You sitting there. I should have had a little checklist, you know, whatever. A scoreboard, card or something. There was a... We went to Mexico for about 25 years, and in one of the towns there was a pastor that was blind. Blind. That's from boxing. He got hit in the head too many times. Seriously. He was Baptist, but then he got filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. They kicked him out. So at the first time we went there, he was meeting in a chicken pen, literally. And they built a lean-to. Then some people helped, and they built a concrete building. And I sat there one night and I realized he doesn't even know how many people are here. He doesn't know whether they swept the floor or not. He doesn't even know what this building looks like. He doesn't know Sister Ho-Ho is here or Hoo-Hoo or whatever. He does not know. Unless he heard their voice. I didn't see this, too concerned about it. Sometimes we just need to be blind to some things, you know. But anyway, I was sitting on the pew and I was counting. And the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you look for me like you're looking for them? I get rebuked a lot. And it's good. One time we finally bought some property next to the church because we really needed parking space. So we had rock delivered. And I had a tractor and I was out there on Saturday spreading that rock, you know. And the Lord spoke to me, what are you going to show them tomorrow? This rock spread out or something from me, from my word? What are you going to show them? Praise God. Well, does the Lord ever show you anything? Praise God. Are you just going through this like, da da da, I don't hear anything, see anything? I don't think so. Praise God. Well, in John 17:22, Jesus prayed, and the glory which you gave me, pray to his Father for us. This is a high priestly prayer. It's called for us. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we're one. Here we see the true reason for the lack of unity in the family of God. People are attempting to operate in their own glory rather than the glory that belongs to Christ. Let me say something about unity. If Christ is in me, living in me, he's in you, living in you, and we're following him, and we're living in obedience to him, don't you think we're going to have unity? He's not going to be telling me one thing and you something else. He's not going to be telling me the wall needs to be painted purple and telling you it needs to be painted yellow. You understand what I'm saying? If the same Christ is living in all of us and be revealed in us, we're going to have unity. Praise God. If we want it. If we want to behold and have his glory in us, then we must be where he is at all times. That's what he said. That they may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. The proof that God... Now I'm going to stop in the middle a little bit. Are you going places he's not going? I get even a little bit more than that. Are you watching things he's not watching? Are you listening to things he's not listening to? It bothers me to be in a minister's meeting and all they want to talk about is Cowboys. I don't have time for that foolishness. I don't. I figured out a long time ago whether they won or lost. It didn't make me a dime. Unless I was betting somewhere, and I don't do that. If they're not talking about that, they're talking about where they ate the last time and how good it was or bad it was. And you're trying to over here, it's really good. And that's, but in my town, they got this place, you know. Maybe that's why we're all so big. I don't know. Couldn't we have a conversation about Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. I have friends that are pastors, have been pastors. They don't even like their people. They said so. Pastor would be great if it wasn't for the people. Oh, why are you pastors? Anybody not know what that is? Praise God. Oh, well, leave that alone.
Now, the proof that God loves us is in that He will show us His glory. Not that He gives us material things. Oh, God, you don't love me. You're not doing that. Or He makes our life a roaring success. Or that He improves our relationship with others. Or that He heals our body. One time I was... you know, there's seasons where you're blessed financially. You understand what I'm saying? And God was blessing us, and then it dried up. You ever been there? Dried up. And that's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. But I'd be in Walmart, and I'd pile that buggy full. And then I couldn't. I'd be very selective, watch the prices. And I'd see somebody walking by with their full buggy. And the devil get after me about her. Looky there. Look what you can't do. Look what they can do. Is that all He means to us? Is that all Christ means to you, whether your buggy's full or not? Or what you drive, or what you wear? Is He your Santa Claus? I'm sorry I use the word you so much. I don't mean to. It's all of us. Amen? Maybe it's not you. I'll put myself in there. It's not that He makes our life a roaring success, or He improves our relationships with others, or that He heals our body. We can never be one with Christ. What is it now that He shows us His glory? We can never be one with Christ and the Father and with the body of Christ unless we are where He is. Now, I want to go back. His proof that He loves us is that He shows us His glory. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And you gave me your glory. Keep that in mind. Christ is not divided over here and over there. Or wherever men want Him to be. Christ is not over there and we're over here. But we're to be with Him where He is. Christ is not fragmented. Nor is He a mixture. Christ is not what I fancy Him to be or what I want Him to be. Christ is not a product of my design or interpretations. I'm telling you, people have a Christ that they made. A God that they made. And this is what my God is. And my God wouldn't do that. Most Christians are serving a Jesus of their own making, which comes out of their selfish desires. Second, if you don't believe it, just let something come in their life and see where they're at. I heard of it. A pastor was called. He had a very large church in Beaumont, Texas. A very large church. There's a man who always sat on the front pew to amen him. Well, that he did on Sunday morning. Sunday night, he sat on the back pew. Way, I mean, it's big. It's way back there. And after church, he said, "Brother, why are you on the back pew?" He said, "Because you didn't shake my hand this morning." That's the way we do God, you know. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, that we are changed in the same image of Christ as we behold His glory by the work of the Holy Spirit. How absolutely imperative it is that we can behold His glory. That trumps everything, folks. If you never fall on the floor, if you never run the aisle, if you never attain to what you think your destiny is, the important thing is that you behold His glory. Because unless we can behold His glory, we'll never be changed into His image. And if we're not changed into His image, we're out. I say we're out. The only thing that's going to get into heaven is Christ. Are those that are in the image of Christ. Christ is the only one the Father ever said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's the only one He ever said He was well pleased with. The only one. If He's going to say that about me or you, we have to be in the image of Christ. We cannot be something different from Him. We'll never be changed in the image of Christ because we got saved. Or because we were baptized in water. Or we had devils cast out of us. Or we enrolled into discipleship training class. Or because we do ministry. But only as we behold the glory of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. Many things may be necessary. We have to have an entrance called salvation. But we cannot stop there, folks. The goal is to have Christ revealed in us by the Holy Spirit, that we can be changed into the same image. Romans 8:28 says that, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose." Oh, hallelujah, that goes in your promise book. A prominent little thing like we used to have on the table, you know. Some of you may be old enough to remember that. And every, you pull out the little card and they have a wonderful promise on it. Always very positive. But there's a verse that comes after that. "For whom?" The word "for" connects those two verses. "For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, His Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's the good that He makes everything work together for. Good and bad things. Praise God. The chastening of the Lord or the blessing of the Lord. But really, if you look at it, the chastening of the Lord is a great blessing of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I thank God. My dad particularly was very hard on me. So I don't know. Maybe I grew up in a different time. I went to high school, school all the way through in Dallas, Texas, graduated there. I never saw one time that I can remember a student disrespect a teacher. Never saw that. Never saw a lot of things. But this thing's changed, folks. This thing's changed. God's not going to have that in His family. Times may change, but He does not change. He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We love that when we want something from Him. But He will never change. He still disciplines everyone He loves. He still scourges, the word means Hebrews 12. He beats every son He receives. He's not raising brats. He's working to get us into Christ and Christ in us. Philippians 2:13 plainly states that it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I preached a message recently. Is God working in you? Is He working in you? Can you detect that He's working in you? Is there any changes coming? Are you coming more into the image of Christ? Are you the same that you were last year? Am I the same? I thank God I'm not. But I didn't do it. He did it. If it's ourselves working something, then it's not God working. That's called self-righteousness. If we're subjecting ourselves to a man's program of self-improvement or man's teaching, then it's not God working in us. If we're still doing our good pleasure, our will, then God is not working in us. Men may preach Christ to us, but no man can teach Christ to us. The Lord had to show me that. When a person preaches, ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, where is Christ in this person's preaching? Where is Christ in this? I'm asking you to do that. I'm encouraging you to do that. Every time you hear a testimony, you hear a song, is it about man? Is it about what man wants? Is it about Christ? If Christ is not what a sermon or message is about, then flee from it. For without Christ, or if it's void of Christ, then it's antichrist. Only the Holy Spirit can teach Christ to men and women. As I was saying, we can and we must preach Christ, but we cannot teach Christ to people. By saying that, I'm saying we cannot teach people how to be like Christ. I heard a pastor say that the Sunday school become nothing more than teaching terrorists how to act like they were Christians. John 16:14, "He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify or reveal me." Jesus speaking. "For He shall receive of mine and shall show or reveal it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He shall take of mine and show or reveal it unto you." 1 John 2:20, "But you have an unction or anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. These things," verse 26, "have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received of Him remains in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointed teaches you of all things and is truth, which is Christ, Christ is truth, and is no lie or antichrist, and even as it has taught you, shall abide in him or be transformed into his same image. Only the Holy Spirit can teach Christ in us or to us. That's his job. So if you've been laying out the money to go some kind of training to become whatever, you're wasting your money. I stand on that. Oh, I need to learn how to do ministry. Really? Read Galatians chapter 1. Anybody know what it says? Paul's talking there about himself. He said, I didn't receive this from any man. I didn't learn it from man. It pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb, what I was, to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. He didn't even go up to Jerusalem to learn, sit at their feet and learn. Now some say, well, you know, but he sat at Gamaliel's feet. But then you read in Philippians chapter 3 that he counted all that as dumb, lost garbage that he might win Christ. The question is, who is teaching Christ to you? To be taught Christ. And let me just say this. Some haven't even got that far. They're still thinking about what the next thing they're going to ask the Lord for on their wish list. That's all he is to them. I said that's all he is to them. Is that all he is to you? I'm going to ask you very seriously, is that why you're sitting here tonight? Is that why I'm here? To be taught Christ is the most important thing of our salvation and our eternal destiny. What is our eternal destiny? And eternity is now. Which is to be in Christ as a new creature. That's our destiny. Therefore, we must not leave this to men. The revealing of Christ is only safe in the hands of the Holy Spirit, who alone God has assigned to do it. Luke 17:20, again, now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Neither shall they say, see, here it is, or see, there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Remember how that the disciples took Jesus around the Temple Mount and showed him those awesome buildings? Ooh, look at this, you know, this is something. There's a church in Tyler, Texas, and you go down two or three blocks and you're still passing this church's buildings. So you know what I'm talking about is from that area. Ooh, look at that, you know. There's their little building, their next building, this great big building. You know what Jesus said? There won't be one stone left on another. Not one left on another. If the kingdom of God we're seeking is an outward kingdom, then it is not his kingdom. Where did he say it is? It's within you. Oh, praise God. Makes us pretty valuable, doesn't it? If the kingdom of God we're seeking can be seen with human eyes, then it's not his kingdom. If we can see it with our natural eyes and hear it with our natural ears, then it's not the kingdom of God. If the kingdom we're seeking has an address, then it's not his kingdom. You can't observe it. It does not come with observation. If we can go there, then it's not the kingdom of God. If it's a place, then it's not the kingdom of God. Praise God. You know what? We're not. We don't go to church. We are the church. Amen? Amen? If we can take pictures of the kingdom we're seeking, then it's not the kingdom of God. If it's an activity, then it's not the kingdom of God. If it's entertaining, then it's not the kingdom of God. If the kingdom we're seeking has a phone number or a fax number, then it's not his kingdom or a cell phone number. If we have to sign something to be part of the kingdom we are seeking, then it's not his kingdom. If we have to pay dues to be a member of the kingdom we're seeking, then it's not his kingdom. If the number of members of the kingdom we are seeking can be counted, then it's not his kingdom. If positions in the kingdom we're seeking requires training, education, or has gender or age or race requirements, then it's not the kingdom of God. If the kingdom we're seeking raises money to support its efforts, then it's not his kingdom. If the kingdom we're seeking has a human leader, then it's not his kingdom. If the kingdom we're seeking advertises, then it's not the kingdom of God. If the kingdom we're seeking is recognized by men or honored by men or applauded or praised by men, then it's not the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying that some components of the work of God or the church that's alive on this earth are not visible. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we should not support or attend, because the Scriptures command our participation. Forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Bring all your tithes in the storehouse. But what can be seen or observed is not the kingdom of God. The problem is that men think and act like the organized church and its activities are the kingdom of God. And they make those organizations overshadow the inward kingdom of God. And they make it more important than the inward kingdom of God. You go to some of these churches, organized churches, and they got all these things they need people to do. And they got the minister of music, and they got the minister, the janitor of maintenance, and they got the minister of youth, and they got the minister of baking cakes, and they got the minister of finances, and they got the minister. Everybody's got a ministry. You know what that is, don't you? Keep everybody involved, keep them going, keep a hook in them. Praise God. We make the outward kingdom more important than the inward kingdom. The outward kingdom is not going to change you or me. And the outward kingdom is not going to get us into heaven. The problem is that what man has organized has been allowed to take preeminence over the kingdom of God inwardly in the heart of men and women. There is not both an external and inward kingdom with both being of equal attention. The only kingdom of God is eternal. In the hearts of those who are truly and in reality following Christ. I'd ask you right now, is the kingdom of God within you? John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from this world." Every kingdom has servants. But if we're serving an earthly kingdom, then that service is not service in Christ's kingdom. Every kingdom has servants, but who are the servants of Christ's kingdom? I'm not saying that you shouldn't go and help keep the church building clean. I'm not saying, you know, that somebody shouldn't mow the lawn. Before I left, I texted the assistant pastor and asked him, "Please sweep the bathrooms." I told him, "I already emptied the trash. I need you to sweep them." Praise God. We're not in the kingdom of Christ and of God unless we're His servants and His disciples. The kingdom of God is not about doing or fighting, but rather it's about being. He said, "If my kingdom were over this world, they'd fight." If there is fighting, then it's not the kingdom of God. So get out of it, if you can, and run from it. We must contend for the things of God, but the battle's not ours, it's His. Building on the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:12, "Now if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, stone." It's incredible and presumptuous and very dangerous that men would build on that foundation of Christ what is hay, wood, and straw. My God help. I believe it was Sister Deborah preaching and talking about disrespecting and messing with your phone. However, a lot of us have the Bible on our phone. Okay? But I was watching a YouTube video, and this poor pastor, I assumed he was a pastor, he was trying to teach those people. Kids crying, carrying on, nobody making them be quiet or taking them out. It was just, I fell for it. And then he walks from behind his pulpit and walks down on that side, and there's a man got a cell phone in his hand. He took that cell phone, threw it on the floor, and stomped on it. This is not a play, folks. This is like, The man didn't say anything. But you talk about disrespect. Building on the foundation of Christ, hay, wood, and stone. Now there's disrespect. There's spitting in his face. There's trampling underfoot his blood. That's what that is. How dare we do that? And please, I'm not talking about material things, and neither is the scripture talking about material things. We had a man in our church for quite a while. He's always trying to be in, run something he wasn't supposed to. You know what they said to, was it Hezekiah? No, Uzziah. I believe it's Uzziah. He went in there, he got too big for his britches. He went in there, he's going to offer up the sacrifice. What was it, 70 or 80 of the priests confronted him and said, "This appertains not to you." And this, well, and you know, he got angry and the leprosy came up, and he's a leper the rest of his days. Had to live in a little house out there. His son took over. Have you ever seen people in the church trying to? This man wanted to be the secretary treasurer. He wanted to be the he wanted to be in charge of the music. And he said, "Now we just got to give God our best, our best." And let me tell you something. You look at that. In Genesis 4, Cain gave God his best. But Abel gave God what God wanted. And I just want to say this right. You understand his whole thinking. We really got to do this good. We've got to meet up here on Saturday and choose our songs and practice them and get everything right. We got to give God our best. And he was from a different background. And I kept trying to say, tell him, "Brother, he's going on now. He's passed on." I said, "You don't understand, this is a Pentecostal church. And we kind of tend to do things spontaneously here." Praise God. So we're not going to have a practice on Saturday and decide the songs we're going to sing. Praise God. Hey, wood and stone. We're not talking about physical things. The foundation of the kingdom of God is not the study and exposing of demons, including how they work and giving them names. Nor is the foundation the study of angels, or the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or successful living, or prosperity, or health, or some sort of self-importance, or the betterment of self, which is what we're seeking even in the church. You know, we've made the church, we've made man the center and the purpose of the gospel, and he is not. I'm not saying that those things are necessary. Please hear me. Now go out of here and say, "Brother Pence will say." No. I am saying that Christ is the foundation. None of these things. He must remain the foundation. And I can tell you standing here, God wants the foundation of this camp to be Christ. Does anybody disagree with that? He wants your home, the foundation of your home, to be Christ. If you attend a church, he wants Christ to be the foundation of that church. Everything. Everything. Christ must be the foundation. And we must be so careful what we build on it. He said, "Take heed how you build on it." Verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work..." Now let me stop and say something. I need to say something. We have, we have different ministries, different functions, right? 1 Corinthians 14 says that. And he distributes the gifts, and he in 1 Corinthians 12. And administration and all those things, he decides that. But the problem is sometimes we think our corner over here is the important part. It's the main thing. Are you catching what I'm saying? And when I say about deliverance or healing or any of this could, when I'm saying that, if God's using us in that area, let us not forget that that is a part, but it's not the whole. It's not the foundation. Christ is the foundation. God may have shown me something, and I realize that what I preach is not necessarily what God's given someone else to preach, except we all must preach Christ. Right? He has some that preach on the Holy Spirit, thank God. He has some that preach on healing, some that preach on deliverance, some that preach on other aspects. But Christ is what we must preach. And I'm going to tell you why. Because He's the answer to all of those things. He's the absolute answer. We are complete in Christ, not in anything else. Are you complete in Christ tonight? We're running here, we're running there, trying to make ourselves complete. When He says so plain, we're complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, we're complete in Christ. That's why He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christ being the kingdom of God, Christ being the righteousness of God. He's made unto us righteousness. Go after Christ and you'll be complete. Don't go after the things. Don't go after the gifts. I just want power. I need power. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, good. Praise God. You'll receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But let me tell you something about that power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. You'll become what I am to this world. You will represent me to this world. I will be expressed through you. That's what the power is for. Praise God. If any man's work remain which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is why the Apostle Paul has solemnly warned us to be careful how we build on the foundation of Christ. I'll tell you, everything I'm doing, everything you're doing, is going to be tried as by fire. Everybody understand that? Be tried as by fire. I have made so many mistakes. I really have. I've done some very dumb things. I've done some things on purpose that I knew I shouldn't do. I'm talking about in ministry. Amen. All of us. Thank God for His mercy. Endures forever. You know what? The best remedy for all that is stay broken before Him. And I preach that. God can never use us unless we're a broken and contrite spirit. He can never use us. He cannot even work in us. He cannot even form Christ in us unless we have a broken and contrite spirit. Those are the sacrifices He desires. He said, with this man will I dwell, he that is a broken and contrite spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can tell you, in my estimation of myself, that I am a broken and contrite man. Most of the time. If I told you my life history, I tell you from birth God started working on me. From birth. All the way through. You can get bitter or you can let God make you better. Is He working in you? 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so count, or that means consider a regard of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, which is Christ alone. What do men consider of us? He said, let them consider us to be ministers of Christ, not for Christ. Did anybody catch that? Of Christ. We minister Christ. We don't minister for Christ. I've said this before, and if you'll just give it a chance, we can do nothing for Christ. Christ can do things through us, but not we don't do things for Him. Say, well, you're just splitting hairs, and no, it's important. Don't you agree that all these words are inspired of God? We're ministers of Christ. We minister Christ. And we know that's the meaning because it's stewards of the mysteries of God. And we know that's Christ from the Scripture. The mystery of Christ. What do men consider us? What do men judge us to be preaching? And more important, what does God judge us to be preaching? To teach anything, preach anything other than Christ is to teach something less than Christ. Do men consider us to be ministers of Christ or of the needs of man, the success of man, the rights of men, the comfort of men? I tell you, you get a crowd if you'll just say what people want you to say. If you tell people how everything's going to be wonderful and they're just going to be the head, not the tail, and how that God's going to do this and God's going to do that, and well, they'll flock there. Craig Little Dollar. I saw him say this in his church, big old church. He said, if you, if you, and he's, And it has nothing to do with the color of the man, okay? I get on the white people or whoever or other national. He said, if you're going to pay your tithes, pay them to a man that's prosperous, because you get the blessing of the person you give them to. If you give them to a poor preacher, you're going to be poor. But if you'll give them to me, you'll be rich like I am. Now, I heard him say that. Praise God. I don't want the blessing of another man. I want what God has for me. And what is the blessing you're after? Is it Christ? Is he enough? Are you complete in him? Are you thinking in material terms? And God fixing this in your life, and God fixing that. What is he about to? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. God's pretty smart. And he knows when somebody's using him. Doesn't he? He knows.
Amen.
Do men consider us to be stewards of the mysteries of God? Can men detect that we're preaching the mysteries of God, which is Christ? And Christ alone as the eternal and final purpose and the whole intention of God the Father. Christ is everything to the Father. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Well, I hope I didn't make you mad at me.
Yeah.
This junk of using Jesus for your own benefit is wrong. You wouldn't like it if someone was doing it to you, would you? Let's don't do it to him. Go after Christ. Go after the kingdom of God, which is Christ. Lord, I ask you to plant your kingdom in our hearts. Plant that seed of Christ in our heart. That, as you said, will grow up into a great tree. A great tree, and the birds of the air will come and roost in that tree. Plant Christ in our hearts as a seed, as leaven, and permeate our entire being. Let Christ grow and grow and grow in us until we are filled with Christ. But I know that's eternity. Speaking of eternity, we'll never come to the end of your Son. But let him grow in us. Let us know him whom to know is life. Let us understand if we have Christ, we have life. We have rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. We have the well springing up in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to inform you of something. Jesus did more, and he is more than just dying for your sins. He must become your very life. And we must be willing to lay down everything. As Paul said, count all things lost in order that we might win Christ. We must consider everything as garbage in order to obtain Christ, to know him. If you're not in love with Jesus this afternoon, ask him to forgive you. I'm not saying that someone hasn't been, maybe it's someone's fault that you're not, you know, they weren't teaching you right, or preaching right, doing right. But we can't lay it off on, we just can't lay it all off on someone else. For it's God that works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. I thank you for that, Lord. I cannot fix myself. I cannot change myself. As the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then the Scripture says, thank God through Jesus Christ. And then the Scripture says, there's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ. In Christ. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, when we can't of ourselves, and we can't do what's right, and we end up doing what's wrong, as Paul said, let us follow. Let us come to you. Cry out to you. Lord, you said by faith we wait for righteousness. Help us, Lord, all of us in here to have patience while you're working righteousness in us. Because the devil will take advantage of that waiting time and point out faults, because that's his business. We have to wait for righteousness because we cannot make ourselves righteous. We have to wait for you to do it in us. We have to wait for you, Lord, by your Spirit, by your Word, to overcome those things in us that we cannot overcome. Listen, there's some in here that you had things, problems bothering you all your life or most of your life, and you still haven't got the victory. I'm not condemning you. I've been there in some things. But I know one thing. He's able. He's able. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. He is a faithful God. If you really want to be free from that, if you really want to walk in freedom, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forming your Son in us. Thank you that we can grow up to Christ in all things. Thank you that we can come into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Thank you that we can be transformed into the image of Christ. That we can be changed in the same image of Christ. Thank you, O God. It's our only hope. It's our only hope. We rest on nothing else. We put our hope on nothing else but Christ and Him alone. Not just to initially save us, but to work the work of God in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. May we be a people of Christ. May we be a people that Christ is gaining ground in daily. May we be a people that are knowing our God. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. Jesus, John chapter 14, the works that I do, Jesus said, shall you do also greater works. But it's not going to be you or me doing it. It's going to be Him in us doing it. There's the answer. Well, why can't I do it? I just pray, pray, pray. Because it's not ever going to be you and me. It will be Him. The more Christ we have in us, the greater those works will be. Praise God. He said that no man shall glory in my presence. No man. Forgive us, Lord, when we glory or we attempt to glory in your presence. Forgive us when we think we did something. When we think we made a difference in someone's life. Forgive us, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Excuse me. If you want prayer, if you'll come and stand, I'll pray for you. And if you want to sit, if you want to go, you can stay if you want to. I just ask this. This is the way I need to be putting this. If you stay, don't disturb, okay? It's okay if you stay, but just don't disturb what God is doing. The church is not over yet. So what I'm trying to say. It's the house of God. We should respect it. Amen? Respect Him. Respect Him. But if you want prayer, come and we'll pray with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry I don't have anybody play music. I could hum if you want. But if you want to come, come. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Praise God. And may God give you wonderful rest tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.